This is How Success Happens, where we talk to polar explorers, war correspondents, founders, ultramarathoners, authors, artists, and a range of other unique personalities to help you understand the capabilities behind how success happens.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
When I'm training for an ultramarathon, anywhere from 100 to 120 miles a week would be in my training cycle. Lots of miles.
You sold something like 250,000 books.
I'm the managing editor at entrepreneur.com and your host, Linda Lacina. Today, our topic is battle. We're lucky to have Matt Thomas. He's the founder behind Brawl for a Cause, a nonprofit that trains regular people, including leaders of companies, to compete in a public boxing match to raise money for what they believe in. He'll talk about how boxing is like chess and how putting yourself in harm's way changes how you think about commitment. Matt will join us by phone in a moment, but first, a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Watson Marketing Insights by IBM. Do you sometimes look at your customer database and wonder where your good customers went and why you didn't see it coming? Watson Marketing Insights can help you anticipate who is about to disengage with your brand so you can take appropriate action before it's too late. Learn more about Watson Marketing Insights at ibm.biz/WatsonMI. That's ibm.biz/WatsonMI. Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well, Linda. How are you doing?
Very good. Very good. We're excited to have you, and we're excited to talk about Brawl for a Cause. Can you catch everybody up and just very briefly describe what Brawl for a Cause is?
I would love to. So Brawl for a Cause is everyday people literally fighting for what they believe in. So what we fundamentally believe is that there's a hero inside each one of us. And what we do is we empower everyday people to fight for the change that they want to see in the world. And what we've found is that people are searching for heroes. So when someone makes the decision to take a stand, communities rally. Heroes emerge, and the world is changed. So in our organization, those heroes are called brawlers.
And so paint me a picture of an event. So take everybody who's listening to this to one of your events. Describe what I'd be looking at, what I'd be feeling, what I'd be seeing. Tell me the landscape there.
Definitely. So you are done up to the nines. You
yes.
are in your tux. You are in your evening gown. You get an Uber Black or you get a limo to the venue, and there's a long red carpet leading to the entrance. You walk in. There are some celebrities standing by the step and repeat ready to take some pictures, and you walk into the main room, and all lights are on the center of the room. And in the center is this ring where in an hour there are going to be everyday people literally fighting for what they believe in. But before that happens, there's an open bar so you can enjoy some drinks with your friends. And there are casino games surrounding the ring. And after you get your gambling fix, the main event starts. And the main event is these everyday people getting outside of their comfort zone and into the ring to raise funds and awareness for a cause close to their heart. So even if you only know one, maybe two people in the event, what we do is we do a promo video before each person walks out. And in this video, you're going to see who this person is, what they do for a living, what their cause is, and most importantly, why they signed up to Brawl for a Cause. So why they chose this cause, why it's important to them, and their story. So before you see them get in the ring and fight, you get an emotional attachment to this person. You get to know who they are. And that makes the experience that much more powerful.
You get sort of the James Bond part of the glamour with the gambling, but you also get this other element where, you know, you're sort of watching someone's transformation.
Exactly right. So, yeah, James Bond is great. You know, that gives that black tie gala feel. Mm-hmm. Also think like Bruce Wayne, right?
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne is like a businessman, like high power, you know, he's doing his thing. And no one really knows he's Batman. So that hero lurking inside of him comes out when there's evil to deal with in Gotham City. Our brawlers are kind of like Batman, right?
I like that. So you got into this a number of ways, but let's start first with your childhood, right? You played chess, but you also had a particular poster above your bed. Tell me about that. Take us back to your early days.
Okay, nice. So I was born in Philadelphia, and I did have a Rocky poster above
yes.
my crib. Even though my mom put this Rocky poster above my crib, she never really let me do boxing as I was growing up. So one of the ways that I rebelled when I got to college was I started taking these boxing classes. And I fell in love with the sport. And in fact, I joined this fraternity. And the sole reason why I joined it was they were planning this interfraternity boxing match. And I thought it was so cool. So I didn't know if I wanted to fight in it or help plan it, but I knew I wanted to be involved. And to make a long story short, that fraternity got kicked off campus for doing fraternity-type things.
Yes.
And so I used that as an opportunity to get more involved on campus. So I joined student government and a philanthropy called UGA Heroes. Now, Heroes is an organization that provides support for children affected by HIV/AIDS in Georgia. At the time that I was in the organization, 12,000 children were affected by HIV/AIDS in Georgia, and those were who Heroes supported. So I was really passionate about this cause, and I worked my way up to the executive board of the organization. And one day, the executive board was sitting around a table, and the founder walks in. And this guy had one question for us. How can we make this organization better? And so these board members started going around the room, and to be completely honest with you, Linda, all these people were kissing this guy's butt. They're like, you're awesome. The organization's awesome. We're doing great. Everyone's patting each other on the back until it got to me. And I looked at this guy and I was like, listen, I think we do great work, but here's how I think we can do it better. We have way too many small events. We have way too many bake sales and percentage night at bars and car washes. And they're really not moving the needle. So what I think we need is one big wow event that the entire campus can rally around. And the founder stopped the meeting. He said, you, come with me. And we walked out of the room. And at this point, I'm scared. I think I'm getting kicked off the board. And instead, he says, what's your name? I said, I'm Matt. And he said, Matt, what do you got? What's your big wow event idea? And I said, well, here's this boxing thing. And as soon as I pitched it to him, he was like, okay, we're going to dinner. And at that dinner, we fleshed out what would become the first Brawl for a Cause event. And after that dinner, he took me to the biggest venue in Athens called the Georgia Theater. He talked our way in. We went up to the stage and measured it to make sure a boxing ring could fit on it because we wanted to pack that venue full of college kids watching people fight for what they believe in. Mm-hmm. 3 months later, that event happened, and 44 people got in that ring, most of them putting on gloves for the very first time, and they fought their hearts out for UGA Heroes. And me witnessing this, I totally got inspired to put myself in their shoes. Mm-hmm. I'd been boxing kind of, you know, as a hobby or for fun, but I knew I needed to put myself in the ring. I needed to experience this. So I trained for about 4 months. I got into the ring for my first amateur boxing bout, and those 6 minutes changed my life. I found out who I was,
yeah.
And I realized that boxing was more than a sport. It was something that could be used to change lives.
Yeah, yeah. Take me through that match. Like, did you think that you were going to, it was going to go how you wanted? Take us through that.
Sure. So, like I said, I trained for 4 months, and prepping for boxing is a completely out-of-body experience because not only are you training your body, but you're training your mind to compete against another human being. You're throwing punches at each other. And so I prepared the best I could. I showed up on the day of the event, and 30 seconds into the first round, I threw a punch and I dislocated my shoulder. And so there I was in this first boxing experience where you know everything was on the line and my shoulder's out of socket. And the ref gave me 10 seconds to literally pull myself together, and my shoulder would not go back in. So she sent me over to the doctor. And the doctor was already standing up in my corner. I made eye contact with him, and I saw his eyes go from mine down to my shoulder, back to my eyes, and he shook his head. And so I knew no doctor in his right mind is going to let a kid with his shoulder out of socket continue this fight. So I relaxed. I gave up this tension, this force that I was trying to, like, put my shoulder back in the socket with, and I just let go. And when I did, my shoulder slid back in socket. So I continued the fight, and The reason why this experience changed my life is because I had the opportunity to give up. Everyone would have understood if I threw in the towel right then. I got injured and it was 30 seconds in, and people would have understood, right? But I continued the fight, and I ended up coming back and winning it. Yeah. And when the ref held up that arm that was out of socket 6 minutes earlier, I was like, this is it. This feeling, I want to be able to facilitate this for other people. And it may not be the same experience that I had, but I know that it'll be good because it'll be getting people outside of their comfort zone. And that's where all the magic happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Why is getting out of your comfort zone so important?
That's how you grow. Out of your comfort zone is scary, right? There's fear inherent in doing something that you haven't done before, or doing something that you're uncomfortable with. And that kind of fear helps people grow. It helps people become better versions of yourself. And it helps people find that inner hero that's just itching to get out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. And people coming to see you get a taste of that. Why is this approach so important, especially to attracting sort of a younger audience?
Sure. So at the heart of Brawl for a Cause, what I always like to say to people is this is not a fight. This is a fundraising event before it's a fight. This is about the cause. This is about the stories of why these everyday people are willing to sign up and literally fight for what they believe in. So these stories are at the heart of the event. And as you can imagine, some pretty incredible content comes out of these people getting outside of their comfort zone and into the ring for their cause. So what we found is that the traditional approaches to fundraising, while effective for like current donors, probably won't work long term. And what I mean by that is the people that respond to cold calls or to direct mailers are probably not the people that going to be able to take nonprofits into the future. Mm-hmm. And so, Lynn, I'm going to put you on the spot. Real
sure.
quick.
Yes.
So you've probably been solicited by some nonprofits, right? To donate or to get involved.
Of course. Yes.
Okay. So how do they do that for you?
usually by formats that haven't changed in about a century, like little mail flyers, the phone calls, emails when I least expected, things like that.
Exactly. And so since they haven't changed in so many years, do you think that those resonate with a younger audience?
Well, I mean, of course not, right? Because, I mean, folks aren't used to, most folks don't even check their mailbox, you know, so a mailer doesn't work, and you know, most folks are on cell phones, so the usual phone lists probably are a little bit more floopy. So yeah, no, of course.
Exactly. Imagine a millennial walking out of their mailbox, picking up an envelope, using their letter opener to open it.
Yeah.
Reading it and actually being moved to pull out their checkbook, write a check, put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, write an address, and send it back to the nonprofit. It's absurd.
Sure. You just mentioned a lot of things that they don't have stamps, they don't have envelope openers, they don't have exactly checkbooks. Yes.
Exactly. They're way too busy on Facebook or with their fidget spinners to actually go through that whole scenario. So
sure.
These millennials need something different, some other kind of approach to doing good, to donating their time or their money to these nonprofits. So what Brawl for a Cause is trying to do is we, instead of those traditional approaches, we're serving this content in ways that millennials already consume.
Tell me how this process resonates more with millennials than, you know, maybe a traditional mailer.
Sure. So millennials are the next generation of donors for these nonprofits. And as the future of these organizations, they need different things than the past generation of donors needed in order to donate. And some of the things that they need are personal connection. So they need to have some sort of heart in the organization. They need to see themselves in it or have been affected by it in order to contribute to it. Mm-hmm. They also need an easy way to give. So that whole rigmarole of pulling out the envelope and writing the check and mailing it back just isn't going to work.
Sure.
So instead, having engaging content like someone that they know that is literally fighting for what they believe in and going through all this tough training and posting updates on social media about it, having that kind of content serves them in a way that they're used to consuming it,
yeah,
with a one-click way that helps them donate is a much better approach than these cold calls or these direct mailers.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure,
the last piece is incentive. So I believe millennials need some sort of incentive to actually go out of their way to donate it. And most millennials are kind of starting their career right now, right? So
sure,
they're just now getting paychecks. They're just now thinking about being able to give back. So if we provide the kind of incentive that is an unparalleled live experience, this spectacle of everyday people literally fighting for what they believe in, then they're gonna be that much more emotionally driven to give and to help be the change they want to see in the world.
That's so interesting. They're engaging with the storytelling as opposed to just sort of passively experiencing it through a flyer, a mailer, or an email testimonial, something like that. So yeah, no, it's a far more engaging way.
Exactly. Yep. You get it.
So you played chess competitively as a child. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So when I was young, my mom got me involved in chess club. Mm-hmm. And every weekend, I had to make the decision between playing with my club soccer team at another tournament or going to a chess tournament and competing on the chess board.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved chess. I loved almost everything about it. It was such a simple game from the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's these 16 pieces and it's one board and it's just a game.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really drill into it, it is so complex. And I saw that as really similar to boxing, but I can get to that later on. The other part that I love about it is the preparation. It takes so much discipline to be a good chess player. You have to study openings. You have to study reactions to those openings. And you have to prepare yourself for any situation because someone can make a move that makes no logical sense just to throw you off. And the same thing happens in the ring. And then the last thing that I love about it and what has really shaped the way that I think about life and business is thinking moves ahead,
mm-hmm,
anticipating your opponent's moves or anticipating what could happen in life and getting ahead of it so that you're prepared and you're ready to react in the best way possible.
We talked in an earlier conversation, and you mentioned that boxing is like chess with your body. Why don't you explain that to the folks listening?
Sure. So boxing is a really simple sport. There aren't very many punches. Everyone can wrap their head around it, right? It's two fists and two people and a ring.
Yeah.
And from the outside, it kind of just looks like a fight. But when you get into it and you live the life of a boxer, that simplicity grows into so much complexity. And mm-hmm, I think there's beauty in that. I think there's beauty in things that seem simple, but when you really get into them and understand them, they're really much more intricate than at first glance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it, but also the preparation part. So as you're preparing for a fight, you have a deadline. You have a very specific date that you are going to be getting into the ring. And in Brawl for a Cause's case, fighting for something that you believe in, something that's really close to your heart, that you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to do your best job possible. And that kind of mentality, you know, of course you want to get in good shape, but there's also a mental component to that. So, you know, if you go to, I always go to Mexican restaurants with my friends, we get cheese dip and tequila drinks and that kind of thing. Let's say you're at one of those like hangouts with your friends. And there's a big bowl of cheese dip in the middle. And you think about taking a chip, dunking in that cheese dip, and putting it in your face. What happens when you're preparing for a fight is there's a ghost also at that table. And that ghost is your opponent. And you start thinking, would my opponent be eating cheese dip right now? and a more likely response is that you'll probably like drop down right then and there and pump out like 15 push-ups instead
yeah.
of taking that cheese dip bite. And so that mentality expands to other parts of your life. You start incorporating more discipline because it matters. Mm-hmm. It matters that something could happen, or that you could indulge in some sort of comfort or something that you usually enjoy, but you're willing to not do that for the sake of something bigger, for the sake of this big event that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then the last point is that anticipation and reaction idea, that the thinking moves ahead, noticing that when your opponent is dropping their shoulder, they're about to throw the jab, knowing what you do to counter a jab. And the next time that shoulder drops, you're anticipating that, you're flowing, and you're reacting to that in the best way possible.
I think it's so interesting with the training aspect, you know, because so rarely in life, not everybody trains for a half marathon or a race like that or a competition like this or a match. But so most people aren't really thinking about change happening incrementally. They don't think it happens, but they aren't thinking about it in a very sort of deliberate, explicit way. And so they sometimes can be sort of unprepared for the stresses of growth where, you know, say if they were going to write a novel at night, they are tired and they are not used to their own reaction. Like, oh, I'm tired, I don't want to do this, and they give themselves resistance. You know, how does training change someone in how they deal with resistance, their own mental resistance? What are your thoughts on that?
Such a great question. So when you have this big audacious goal of getting into the ring for your first fight, that can seem like a big mountain. That can be a really scary thing. But when you break it down, when you see the date of the event and you can see how many days between now and then there are, and then you can break down those days to know what kind of training you're doing on each day or what you're thinking about or how you're fundraising, it becomes a lot more manageable because it's little bite-sized chunks.
Yeah.
And so what we do to help prepare our boxers for this experience is we say, okay, here's a calendar. Here is 8 weeks out, and we're going to provide free group training on these days. And we're going to set you up with all this gear that is perfect for preparing for a boxing event. And we're going to set you up with social media templates and email templates so that you can get the word out about what you're doing. And all of a sudden, that game plan or that those little bite-sized chunks all added up together become a lot more manageable mm-hmm. than this big goal that you have no idea how to accomplish mm-hmm. at first. Mm-hmm. So that's a piece of it. The other piece is I truly believe that this kind of experience of training for something that's outside of your comfort zone and having this big audacious goal is that there's a lot of translatable skills from this, you know, boxing event to business or to life.
Sure.
And some of those things, so I'm going to throw some boxing idioms at you. Have you heard the term roll with the punches?
Yes.
Okay. So rolling with the punches, it refers to the idea that if someone is throwing a punch and you know you're going to get hit by it, do you think it makes more sense to go into that punch with your head or to lean back and go and roll with that punch or flow with that punch and take it in stride?
I'm going to say roll in stride, but I'm not a boxer, so you can correct me.
Oh, exactly right. So in life, yeah, you don't always know what's coming at you. And adversity is going to come regardless. So when you know it's coming, it's a lot better to roll with that punch, to flow with that adversity, and mm-hmm. and to either soften the blow or to use it to your advantage, to find out a way to counter. Mm-hmm. And so rolling with the punch is like, if you're training for a boxing event, in training, you're going to get hit. That's going to happen. You got to mentally prepare yourself for that. But the important part is what you do when that hit comes in. And so let's say you don't take a hit well. You don't roll with the punch.
I wouldn't. I would be crying.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes you get knocked down. And another big skill that boxing hones is the ability to get back up. Mm-hmm. That's the important part. If you get knocked down and you're on the canvas, you have to get back up. You can't quit. Mm-hmm. It's persistence. It's you continuing the fight to keep going. And the last piece that I think is probably the most important piece, we touched on a little bit earlier, but one of my favorite figures in boxing is actually not a boxer. My favorite figure in boxing is Tyson's coach, Cus D'Amato. Mm-hmm. And he has this quote that I love and that I try to live by. He says that the hero and the coward feel the same thing. Mm-hmm. The difference is what they do with it. Mm-hmm. And that thing that he's talking about is fear. Everyone feels fear in life. Everyone's going to feel fear in the ring during a Brawl for a Cause experience. It's going to happen. No one wakes up in the morning and is like, hey, I want to get punched in the face today. it's not natural.
Yeah.
But learning how to cope with that fear, and not just cope with it, but excel in it, like use it, is one of the most important skills I think you can have in life. Yeah. Because like I said, like the magic happens outside of your comfort zone, and outside your comfort zone is scary. So if you can learn how to make that magic happen, you're going to be living a much fuller life. It's going to make you come that much more alive.
When you think of a brawler, like not just sort of somebody who's in the ring with Brawl for a Cause, but what does a brawler mean to you? What does a brawler think and do? What's a brawler to you?
A brawler is that hero inside all of us that decides to put themselves outside of their comfort zone and into the ring. But that's pretty ambiguous. So let me give you two brawlers from our last event.
Yeah.
Let me explain a matchup here. So in the red corner, we had this guy who ran a gold and silver buying and selling commodity business. Mm-hmm. So pretty well off, influential in Atlanta. And this guy, when he was 4 years old, his mother passed away from breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And his family had been huge donors to Susan B. Komen. Mm-hmm. But he hadn't really found his way to give back in his mom's memory. And he had this hobby of boxing. He would go and do cardio kickboxing classes. He'd been doing it for a few years. And when he heard about Brawl for a Cause, he knew he had to sign up. This was his way to give back in his mom's memory. So he signed up. And this guy was matched against someone in the blue corner. Mm-hmm. The blue corner brawler was a BlackRock financial advisor mm-hmm. who was involved with a local homeless shelter called City of Refuge. Mm-hmm. And one day when he was volunteering, there was a call came in. And the call said that there was a woman that was in the sex trafficking part of City of Refuge that was rehabilitated and put back into the community. And she was about to come get picked up by her pimp. Mm-hmm. And they had 10 minutes to go and save this woman, pick her up and bring her back to City of Refuge. Mm-hmm. And he was just a volunteer. He was just there like visiting and taking a tour and serving some food in the cafeteria. But they asked him, because he's a bigger guy, they asked him, hey, will you come with us? Will you help us? And that was his platform. That was his opportunity to be that hero mm-hmm. that he knew was inside him. But he just hadn't had this kind of platform or this opportunity to do it. And so he did it. And this guy had come to a Brawl for a Cause event in the past. And he had even told me, I will never do this. I will never get in the ring. But when that happened, when he went out and saved this woman from this horrible experience, he called me. He told me this story, and he said, I have to fight. I can't not do this. I have this perspective. I saw this thing. I can't unsee it, and I have to get in the ring. Mm-hmm. And so these two people ended up being our main event for the last Atlanta event. Mm-hmm. And about a minute into the first round, the red corner guy, the Susan B. Komen champion, was doing great. He had longer reach. He was staying away from his opponent. He was throwing jabs. He was looking really good. And then the blue corner guy flipped the switch, came inside the reach of the red corner, and threw this left hook out of nowhere, caught him on the chin, and ended the fight. And it was such an electric way to end the event and end the experience. They both got up. They hugged each other. They both knew that they were doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And the event ended with this experience of two brawlers fighting for causes that were so close to their heart, but it's such a personal connection to the mission and what they were doing. And that's what it's all about. That's one match in a Brawl for a Cause event, but there's 10 more of those stories in every single event.
How do you even know who to root for in a match like that?
Well, in that event experience, before brawlers come out, I said we have that video. So a lot of people haven't heard of these people before the event. Maybe they checked out our content online and they kind of know the characters in the play before they before they come to the event. But in most cases, they don't, and they can kind of see who they resonate with more. Maybe someone in their family had been affected by breast cancer, or maybe they have a friend that was rehabilitated by a similar homeless shelter. So you get people that never knew the people that were in the ring, but end up cheering louder than anyone else because it resonates with them, it clicks with them.
It's a nice problem to have, wondering who to root for, right? Because there's so many good options.
Exactly right. That's true.
The word fight doesn't have so much meaning these days because most people aren't ever put in a situation where they have to do anything physical at all. It's always theoretical. How does sort of that physical aspect, putting yourself in harm's way, how does that change focus or commitment? What are your thoughts on that?
Sure. So we all have friends that get involved with charities, and a lot of these friends or these people in society are willing to talk the talk about those, right? They're like, okay, like, listen to this thing that I care about. Here's why I care about it. And that's great because that raises awareness. But one step further is literally walking the walk and either donating your time or donating your resources or helping in some kind of skill set that you do in your career and that you can help the nonprofit with. Mm-hmm. So walking the walk is great, but there's another layer. And the people that dip their toe in the water or that dive all the way into this next layer are my favorite people on the planet. And those are the people that literally fight the fight. They're the ones that are flying over to the border of Syria and providing clean water to refugees. Or they're the ones that are willing to get involved with a cause like Doctors Without Borders, where they're going and providing medical care for people in need that have no access to it. And they're in it. They're surrounded by these people. But not everyone can do that.
Yeah.
And so Brawl for a Cause is a great way to fight in the same way that these other champions are fighting all over the world for their causes, but to do it in their own way. So maybe someone really wants to get in the best shape of their life and they really care about their cause and they're willing to put themselves in harm's way for it, but they don't have a platform or an opportunity to be able to do that. Brawl for a Cause is that. It is something that is different. You know, it's not another bake sale. It's not another 5K. It's something different, and that's what people want. They want different.
Sure. Yeah, they want an opportunity to do something other than just to, you know, share a link on Facebook. I fought for my cause.
Exactly. So it's a spectacle. It's a exhilarating experience. It evokes emotion, and it's different.
Of course. And it makes you really think about, do I want this as you train for it? You know, I think this is so important. I'm willing to put myself forward for it.
Exactly right.
So that's all the time we have today. Thanks, Matt, for making time for us. And to listen to more podcasts from this series, find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and follow us on SoundCloud. And before we go, one last word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Watson Marketing Insights by IBM. Do you sometimes look at your customer database and wonder where your good customers went and why you didn't see it coming? Watson Marketing Insights can help you anticipate who is about to disengage with your brand so that you can take appropriate action before it's too late. Learn more about Watson Marketing Insights at ibm.biz/WatsonMI. That's ibm.biz/WATSONMI.